So first of all, we developed a reliable measure of pain and validated it. And in each subject who had suspected zoster, we repeatedly measured with this questionnaire, measured pain over a six-month period. And the area under that curve, which we titled the herpes zoster severity of illness score, corresponded to the total adverse impact of shingles on that subject. Now, each subject with zoster had that burden of illness, had that zoster severity of illness score. And the sum of those was the burden of illness on the population caused by shingles. And we compared that in the vaccinated and the unvaccinated population. And people who didn't have zoster during the observation period, of course, had a herpes zoster severity of illness score of zero. Now, the next three cartoons, very quickly, will show you how this measure behaves. In the case of a vaccine that reduced incidence but not severity, the blue on the right shows you'd have half as many cases, but the area under the curve would be comparable. On the other hand, if you reduce severity, there'd be just as many cases in the vaccine group, but on average, the area under the pain versus time curve would be smaller, and the burden of illness would be lower, or some combination of the two, fewer cases and less severe. And finally, again, prompted by Hope Simpson, a paper in 1975, who noted that if you're prospectively looking at people who have sensory abnormalities, you need to talk about real pain. And so we scored post-herpetic neuralgia as something, as pain that the patient scored or the subject scored as 3 or more on a scale of 10 that persisted for more than 90 days. And if they scored lower than 3, simultaneous questions about activities of daily living and quality of life were negative, were answered in the negative sense, no impact. And so that was not post-herpetic neuralgia. And then finally, in terms of evaluable cases, we had a clinical assessment and a laboratory assessment, each independent of the other. Every single one of 1,308 cases was evaluated by a clinical evaluations committee consisting of 5 of us, including the late Steve Strauss. We spent hundreds of hours doing that, but we were trumped by a PCR assay, which was more sensitive and specific than even the clinical evaluation committee. The results were published in 2005 in the New England Journal, and I think the most significant thing about the paper is the 50 authors, which was a major struggle. And I think that in order to do studies like this, it takes a lot of thought and effort by a lot of people, and it's very hard to reward them in any adequate way other than with authorship. So we enrolled 38,000 people. Half got vaccine and half got placebo. And what I think is a remarkable testimonial to the efforts put in by the 22 study sites, over 95% of them were followed to the end of the study and a one-on-one closeout interview. And most of those who weren't followed to the end of the study died of not related to either zoster or zoster vaccine. We had 1,308 suspected cases, of which 642 were confirmed in the placebo group and 315 in the vaccine group, and more than 93% in both were proven by the identification of VZV DNA by PCR. And interestingly, most of the PCR samples, and these were swabs, we weren't invasive, had something approaching 10 to the 7th or 10 to the 8th genome copies in them. The assay was sensitive to about 1/200th the amount of viral DNA in a single infected cell. Now, I'm going to skip that. And these are the results that, in terms of the burden of illness, that's the sum of all the severity of illness scores for each of the subjects divided by the number of people being followed. The efficacy was 61%, which exceeded our predetermined criteria for success, which was 47%. And it was a little greater in the younger age group, but I want to point out something I'll come back to in a minute. and that is looking at the placebo group, the red bar, the severity of disease, the burden of illness is much greater in the 70 and older group than in the 60 to 69. And I think it's an important issue we'll come back to. And that's sort of what it looked like. We had about half as many cases and they were less severe. Now, there were other measures that we did of quality of life and activities of daily living. And these were impacted by zoster. And the vaccine reduced that impact by about the same amount. Those are the green bars under the blue, which gives more legitimacy to the burden of illness as a real measure of the misery produced by zoster in the population. Now, our main motive for doing all of this was to prevent postherpetic neuralgia. And we reduced the incidence of postherpetic neuralgia, that's the number of cases per 1,000 people per year, by two-thirds. And that amount was not in the least diminished in the 70 and older group. And again, I want you to notice how much more severe the disease is in the 70 and older group. Now, no two papers I've ever seen describing postherpetic neuralgia describe it the same way. And if you look, this is the placebo group. And this is despite early antiviral therapy and pain medication, which we provided for everybody. We still had a 14% incidence or rate in cases of zoster of the development of postherpetic neuralgia at 90 days. And this is the rates there show whatever you choose is how long it has to be there for you to call it postherpetic neuralgia. And what's important is the efficacy of the vaccine was not affected by the severity of the criteria. And in fact, if anything, it was more effective against more severe disease. And finally, a surprise, to me at least, and that is we reduced the incidence of zoster. But I want you to recognize that that reduction was substantially less in the older age stratum. It was only 37% in the older age stratum. Now, we underestimated the severity of disease and therefore the efficacy of the vaccine because we aggressively treated everybody as soon as we got them with famciclovir without cost, and we also treated their pain. So to the extent that that treatment did anything, we reduced the severity in the placebo group. The vaccine was well tolerated, and this is an important issue. We had active follow-up for safety in 97% of all of the 38,000 subjects. The rate of adverse effects was 1.4% in both groups. That included a subset where we were really looking for local site effects where there was asymmetry in these severe adverse events. But it was just barely statistically significant, and that's part of the overall population. Now, importantly, the vaccine did neither induced nor caused zoster. In the first 30 days, there were 18 cases in the placebo group and only 6 in the vaccine group, which showed two things. We weren't inducing zoster, and also that the vaccine's efficacy developed very quickly. Now, that's not surprising because it's an anamnestic response. Now, age, as I've already shown you, was an important issue. It had very little impact on the burden of illness. In other words, the vaccine still worked in the older age group. It worked just as well if you measured it by the effect on PHN, but it didn't work as well in something that wasn't an original endpoint. Now, these are people who had severity of illness scores of greater than 600. That's equivalent to more than 60 days of the worst pain you can imagine. And as you can see, in the younger age group, the 60 to 69, there weren't very many, but all but one was in the placebo group, the red. In the older age group, there were a lot more of them. But again, most of them were in the placebo group, and there was a shift in severity to the left or to the less severe in the vaccine group. And if you just looked at the ones with scores of over 800, and there weren't very many, and this is not statistically significant, the vaccine efficacy actually rose to 82%. So that it looked as if we inhibited the disease in both younger and older people In the younger, older people, the 60 to 69-year-old, it was largely by preventing the disease. In the older group, however, it was largely by attenuating the disease. Now, we unfortunately, in one respect, because we no longer have a placebo group,